The topic is, whose question is it? Today I would like to introduce you to what is perhaps a new idea. Like all of us, I participate in debates about so-called public questions from time to time. We dispute whether, for example, I ought to install mercury light bulbs in my house, so-called compact fluorescent light bulbs. We dispute whether I ought to buy 32-ounce Cokes. The list of so-called public questions is practically endless. The new idea I would like for you to consider today, though, is whose question is it? I will argue that questions have an owner, and that the owner has the right to answer the question for himself. My argument will include these points. I will give an example from China in which Mao Zedong imposed his scientific conclusions upon the population with terrible consequences. I will discuss the idea of scientism. I will accuse us all of being little o objectivists. I will identify the causes of the problem that I call minding other people's business. I will explain briefly the idea of natural law and show that we all get it. I will conclude by claiming a zone of privacy within which we all have ownership of certain questions, their answers, and the consequences of those answers. So let us begin. Mao Zedong was born on December 26, 1893, and died on September 9, 1976. He is commonly referred to as Chairman Mao. Chairman Mao was the founding father of the People's Republic of China and held power from October 1, 1949 until his death in 1976. Chairman Mao presided over a social economic program that was called the Great Leap Forward from 1958 until 1961. Among the programs within the Great Leap Forward was an agricultural technique called deep plowing. Deep plowing was a scientific theory that Soviet biologist Trofim Lysenko, his dates were 1898 to 1976. Scientific dissent from Lysenko's theories was outlawed in 1948 in the Soviet Union. Dissenters from Lysenko's theories were purged from their positions and many were imprisoned. Do people in America get purged from their positions by taking heretical positions? Deep plowing, which is plowing up to 2 meters deep, was thought to improve crop yield. There were many aspects to the Great Leap Forward, far beyond deep plowing. But the ultimate result of the Great Leap Forward was that between 18 and 45 million people died of starvation caused by crop failure or were killed outright when they resisted the programs of the Great Leap Forward. The point I would like to make is that the problem with the Great Leap Forward is not that the totalitarian government was wrong in its scientific opinion that deep plowing would help crop yield. It was wrong for the government to impose its scientific opinions on the population. The question, how should I grow my wheat or my rice, does not belong to the government. The question, how should I grow my wheat or my rice, belongs to the individual farmer. Scientism is the religion of science. I use the term to include people who would impose their scientific conclusions on others. People under the spell of scientism will argue that their scientific conclusions ought to be imposed on others because, quote, people are dumb, close quote. Chairman Mao held that Lysenko's scientific conclusions that deep plowing was great for crop yield was true. Chairman Mao held that people are dumb. Therefore, for their own sake, Mao imposed his science, so-called, upon the people. The only difference between Chairman Mao's view and, say, Mayor Bloomberg's view on 32-ounce sodas in New York City, which are banned, is that few people are likely to die from a lack of corn syrup spiked fizzy water. How many of us think that our so-called correct scientific views ought to be imposed on others? A few, I'm sure. While we all have respect for science, not everyone is willing to permit a dictatorship of scientists. The conclusions of true science are always provisional. True science says that based upon the evidence thus far examined, we conclude to a reasonable certainty that X, whatever X is true. The ultimate responsibility for my life is mine. I must make my own provisional conclusions based upon science or upon the authority of science, upon my own experience or upon the experience of others I trust, or upon intuitions that I interpret as God-given or as mysteries from the subconscious, or upon whatever basis I choose to live my life on. Lysenko's deep plowing conclusions, once thought true, turned out to be false. We have seen many such turns of scientific opinion in our lifetimes. Most of us in this room are little o objectivists. Now, I'm not trying to insult anyone. I fully recognize that we have all political stripes within the Fellowship of Reason, and presently in this room, we have socialists, liberals, perhaps some conservatives, and libertarians. We also have a few big O objectivists. When I say little O objectivists, I am not speaking of the philosophy of Ayn Rand. I am speaking of our commonly held opinion that there is one and only one right answer to every question. I don't dispute that. I think that's true. Larry Woods corrects my formulation by saying that, well, the question itself must be sound, and I accept that. But given that if, and, or but supplied by Larry, I assert that we all think that there is one and only one true answer to the question, whatever the question may be. For example, is the world flat? There is only one answer to this question. Is there a God? There is only one correct answer to this question. Is it right that I buy a 32-ounce soda infused with high fructose corn syrup in New York City? Is it right to buy and consume foie gras in California? Is it right that I follow the CDC's 38 vaccines by age 2 schedule? Is it right that I put my 8-year-old autistic child in a group home? Is it right that I allow my 8-year-old girl child to participate in beauty contests? Is it right that I refuse, as an Amish family, to follow the mandates for vaccines? Is it right that I put my child in a private secular school? Is it right that I smoke marijuana? Is it right that I shop at Walmart? Is it right that I raise my child under Sharia law, teach her to hate America and to wear a burqa? Is it right that I eat a quarter pounder with cheese, or a cheese royale with cheese, as explained in the film Pulp Fiction at McDonald's? Each of us has an answer to these questions, and each of us, I suspect, has no doubt that our answer is the right answer. But surprise, none of us have the same answer to all of these questions. I say again, I suspect that we are all in this room small o objectivists, in that we believe that there is only one true and correct answer to every properly formed question. Between you and me, it's not important what the right answer is. The real question is, whose question is it? Should I shop at Walmart? Is my question, and I insist upon this. We might wonder why it is not obvious that the important question is, whose question is it? Why are we all so quick to answer other people's questions? Why are we willing to impose our answers on their questions on them? Well, I think one reason is our public media. Many of us live in the news. We surf the internet, we watch cable TV, we listen to talk radio, we look over the shoulders of real people while observing them on reality TV shows. We have opinions about everyone else's questions. Another reason is our now nearly perfect lack of privacy. Many of us report the details of our lives on Facebook voluntarily, and I am guilty of this. We are constantly under the scrutiny of security cameras and stores and banks and public buildings, at stoplights, and on most city streets. London may be the most covered city in the world right now, but soon all major cities will have complete and total security camera coverage. The FAA is considering approving unmanned drones, the drones that are coming back from our many wars, to spy on American citizens during peacetime in America. The drones are as yet unarmed, thank God, but arming them is the very next and very easy step. George Orwell's Big Brother is indeed watching us, and he has a gun. 1984 has come to pass. In airports, we are only one step away from rectal and gynecological examinations, physically. We are certain to have electronic rectal, gynecological, and interior body scans very shortly. We are certain to have that in the next year, probably. Nobody cares about this. Nobody cares about it. We take this shameful degradation easily now. Because of our always looking over the shoulder media and our nearly complete lack of privacy, we are used to having opinions about other people's business. Combine our habit of looking over other people's shoulders with our absolute faith in unbridled democracy, and we think that we as a democratic people have the right to insert and enforce our opinions about other people's business. This pernicious tendency is that about which I speak today. Plato's Republic asserts, and this is 2,500 years ago, that the essence of justice is to mind your own business. I mean, he puts it in those terms. Let us consider now the moral proposition, mind your own business, for a few minutes. We have just finished studying natural law during philosophy tapes at Sally's house. We've been at it for months. Most people think that they don't understand natural law. These days it's not taught, even though everyone experiences natural law. Natural law is a law that arises from human nature. We feel it as a part of our nature. A benign example is this. Suppose you are a skilled guitar maker, and you make a guitar from scratch. You collect the wood and finish it. You buy the metal parts and form strings and tuning studs. After months of hard work, you accomplish your task, and you complete a great acoustic guitar. Your masterwork is the Stradivarius of guitars. This guitar is yours. It is your guitar. If someone tried to take it from you, you would be mad and you would try to keep your guitar. This feeling is the natural right of property. Another example is your body. An ugly stranger comes up to you and pinches your butt or fondles your private parts. You are furious. You hit him. You call the police. Your property interest in your body has been violated and you defend it. This feeling is the natural right of property. Another example is your children. Another ugly stranger runs up to you and your child in the grocery store. He tries to snatch your child. You defend your child. You come close to killing the attacker to defend your child. This feeling is the natural right of property. All of these examples are instances of natural property rights, natural property rights, natural rights. Note that your guitar, your butt, and your child are all a subset of you, your life. Life is the highest right and includes the other rights, such as your guitar, your butt, and your child. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The opening lines of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their right of creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One need not be religious in order to assert the existence of natural rights. The essence of entitlement to these rights arises from your nature as a human being, however you are created. Your sense of entitlement is shared by all other normally functioning adult human beings. Your sense of entitlement is enforced by laws in all human societies to a greater or lesser extent. The right to property, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a natural right in this sense. Our property rights, the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, are being whittled away. We are like the proverbial frog that sits in the pot of cool water on the fire and is not aware until he is cooked that the water has been turned to a deadly boil. Year by year, we are becoming boiled frogs. The trick that we have fallen for is that we are taught that freedom is the right to vote. Freedom is not the right to vote. The right to vote is a technique to preserve freedom. The founding fathers were fully aware that the right to vote was only a technique and not a perfect one. That is why the founding fathers did not found a democracy, but rather a republic, with three branches of government that shared limited powers and a constitution that it was hoped would limit those powers. The right to vote for our presidents and our representatives was merely one of several techniques to preserve freedom. Freedom is the societal condition in which property rights are protected by the rule of law. Again, freedom is the societal condition in which property rights are protected by the rule of law. One can be absolutely free in a monarchy with absolutely no right to vote if one enjoys the right monarch. The fact that this idea is shocking is the measure of how misled people are about the nature and meaning of freedom. The moral measure of a society is on a scale that begins with totalitarianism and ends with the fully protected property rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In a free society, the zone of privacy is extensive. The zone of privacy is the area of life in which we own all of our questions, the answers, and the consequences. On the other hand, in a totalitarian society, the zone of privacy is very small or non-existent. All or most of the questions, their answers, and the consequences belong to the state. I gave examples of questions earlier. Let's go over a few of those and try to categorize them. Is the world flat? The answer has no meaningful consequences for others. The main consequence is that the person who says the world is flat is uneducated. Matters of personal scientific opinion are within the zone of privacy. Is there a God? The answer has no meaningful consequences for others in America, where we do not permit a theocracy, the imposition of a state religion. Matters of personal religious opinion are within the zone of privacy. Is it right to buy and drink a 32-ounce soda infused with high fructose corn syrup in New York City? The answer has no meaningful consequences for others. That a person might become fat is not relevant in a free society where the society does not bear the burden of its members' bad choices. Matters of personal taste are within the zone of privacy. I asked a number of questions about children. Children and the decisions about children are matters of personal privacy. As you have seen, an important criteria for public and private questions is whether the answer has consequences, public consequences, or only private consequences. Whose question is it? Whose question is it? I have attempted to persuade you that when you are tempted to engage in a public debate, that before your discussion becomes too heated, you ask the question, whose question is it? So, as an example, get relevant to what we do here, when you argue with somebody about the existence of God, ask the question, whose question is it? It's his question if he wants to believe in God, that's fine. If I don't, that's my question. If the question does not belong to you, there is no reason for high emotion. It just does not matter. If a friend needs help with one of her questions, of course, you are free to help. But the question, the answer, and the consequences will always be hers. My argument has contained these points. One, I gave an example from the Great Leap Forward in which the government's imposition of its scientific opinion about deep plowing resulted in the deaths of tens of millions. I discussed the idea of scientism and our tendency to want to establish a scientific dictatorship. I suggested that we are all little o objectivists, believing that there is only one right and true answer to every question. I explained that the idea of natural law, and I think I showed that we all get it. I identified two causes of our meddling in the business of others. One, our meddling public media, and two, our almost complete lack of privacy. I claimed that the right to vote is not freedom. I asserted that freedom is the societal condition in which our property rights, the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, are protected by the rule of law. I concluded by claiming there exists a zone of privacy within which we all have ownership of certain questions, their answers, and the consequences of those answers. Remember, mind your own business. Recognize that the important thing is not the right answer to every question, and I concede that there isn't a right answer to every question. The important thing is, whose question is it? Thank you, and happy 4th of July.
And now, as we do after every orange break, we have forum, which is the part of the event that gives us our title, which is we discuss the celebration of freedom and the orange break that was given. Questions?
I obviously very, very much enjoy both presentations. Without apparent planning between the two of you, it came off very, very well. In turn, what I wanted to compliment you on your technique, whether or not we agree with the way our military has been deployed, we have to agree that they are fantastically competent organization as far as training and communication, and that summarized as a formula of tell them what you got to tell them what you told them, and you were a master of that example. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, I did go to Toastmasters, and I learned my lesson. Sorry.
Well, that is like it's a plow 2 meters deep. How fast does it work?
You know, I don't know the details of that. I mean, that's something, it's interesting to me that it's only rare. I mean, nobody knows about the Great Leap Forward. I mean, I was alive during the Great Leap Forward, 59 to the 61, and no one talks about it. You didn't hear about it either?
Oh, I remember it, but not any details about that.
We are also much safer, even when we know the answers. We are much safer letting people do what they want to do, believe what they want to do. We can argue for thousands of them. And that's okay. It's okay to have a shit. But the minute you begin to force other people, you end up opening the door to, I don't think anybody really wants to open because there's no end to it. So you are better off letting people make mistakes, telling warning them that you're in your life, but you're much better off letting them make their mistakes than to enforce your truth, even if you try to be right. And I maintain that there is no such thing as capital T truth. And I'm the objective of the bigger. Truth is contextual. It depends on who you are, who's asking the question, what you want for, and then what the context of your knowledge is. Because later you may find that in a wider context, you have a partial.
I didn't say this in my speech, but I always like to tie ethics to beauty. And the image that I have in this environment is, if you think of yourself as an artist of your own life, that is, you're the painter, you're like Picasso drawing a painting, which is your life, to think about when people come and intrude upon your life and tell you, it's sort of like me coming up behind Picasso and saying, you know, I don't particularly like that line there, and putting a black paintbrush across it and, you know, trying to help Picasso do his art. And so, you know, beauty can't really happen if the artist is tinkered with by, you know, lay people like me, you know, trying to fool them.
Oh, my comment here would be very good point. Some performers are unique. I want to speak, but you guys would be crazy that I'm so I'll give you 10 minutes because part of the history that people don't know is the old Captain Sight. So, what did you bring to the first thing that they decided to separate from Russian? As your early history, Ukraine, that's what was the history. Ukraine set a whole nation of performers at the beginning. Russia is where the government is. When Ukraine decided to separate, the very first thing they declared was their own currency and Polish funds. And the minute it got declared, two things were forbidden. It was forbidden to trade with Russia, period. And the second thing was forbidden to accept any other currency out of that. This new state currency, I don't even remember what it looked like. It looked like a piece of paper. And so what happened immediately after, as some of the people was to do, the producers, but if you think about it, if this gets announced halfway through the year, if you own a farm, you already plan to sell your crops in former Soviet Union, all those republics, you already have everything mapped out, you'd be told you can't have any of that. So what started happening over the course of 2 months, they basically, all the villages, all the producers, all the crops, everything was done. Because you were not allowed to destroy it either, because the government will arrest you. So what do you do for that? So there were lakes in Ukraine.
Also, most of the Chinese don't think that way at all.